Sutter Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Rick Warden. We currently meet at the Yuba County Library, located at 303 2nd Street in downtown Marysville, California, on the corner of 2nd and C Street. Weekly services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. at the library. For more information, visit our website at ysgracechurch.com. Now, here's our pastor, Rick Warden.
The title of our sermon today is The Blood That Speaks Better. The scripture is found in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth, to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. What does the Bible teach about Cain and Abel? First, Eve named her firstborn son Cain. His name means gotten. Adam and Eve looked in hope for God to fulfill His promise to give one who would bruise the serpent's head, one who was the seed of the woman. Eve named her firstborn son Cain because she believed through him God would destroy the works of the devil. But Cain was not God's promised Christ. Cain was no savior. Though Cain was Adam's firstborn son, he was a sinner. Our best is full of sin. Job asked, Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one, Job 14:4. No one becomes a child of God because he is born to the right parents. No one becomes a child of God through physical birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, You must be born again. We must be born into God's kingdom by spiritual birth. No one becomes a child of God by the will of man. God said that those who believe Christ are born of God, who believe on His name were born, the Lord says, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are not sons of God by our parents. We are not sons of God by the will of man. And we most certainly are not sons of God by our own so-called free will. Adam and Eve hoped Cain would be God's Christ. But Cain proved that he was of that wicked one. The Apostle John said, This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. All of us are born sinners. All of us are slaves to Satan by our natural birth. We all walk according to the course of this world, according to Satan's enslaving deception and influence, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of our mind, and are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 3. We must be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13. We must be set free from Satan's castle. Only Christ, who is stronger than Satan, can deliver us. Only Christ delivers from Satan. And this is why He came into the world. This is what the Lord Jesus did by His own death. We are delivered from Satan by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His own death, Christ bruised the devil's head. He destroyed his work, Hebrews 2:14 and 1 John 3:8. Cain was of that wicked one. If we do not believe Christ and die in our unbelief, then we too are of that wicked one, just as Cain, and just as Judas, who was called in Scripture the son of perdition. Cain proved himself to be a son of perdition. Cain murdered his brother Abel. God promised Cain that if he did well, he would be accepted. But God also warned Cain. God warned Cain that if he did not come to Him by Christ, his own sin would master him. The Lord said to Cain, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." To do well is to come to God by Christ. If Cain came to God by faith in Christ's blood, coming to Him for acceptance, coming to worship God by the blood of Jesus only, then God would accept him. But he did not come that way. He invented his own way. All who reject Christ come by their own way, by their own work. Therefore, Cain remained under the complete control of his own sinful nature. Sin ruled over him, and sin's desire was Cain's only desire. God told Cain, "If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." As a crouching lion, sin took Cain as its captive servant. He hated his brother, and hatred in the heart is murder. The Apostle John said, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." 1 John 3, verse 15. By his unbelief and by his hatred for Abel, Cain proved himself to be of that wicked one. He never repented. He remained in his sin, enslaved to his blinding pride, enslaved to his unbelief, enslaved to his ignorance of God. He was in darkness. He did not know God. He had no faith in Christ and in his sacrifice. God never showed him mercy. God never granted him repentance to life. God gave Cain up to his own heart's lust to do evil things. Though he was born to Adam, his spiritual father was the devil. He hated Christ. He hated his own brother, Abel. He murdered his own brother, Abel. Whatever we do to the least of Jesus' brethren, we do it to Christ himself. Therefore, Cain not only hated Abel, but he murdered the Son of God. He considered his own offering to be on par with Christ's offering of himself. Cain effectively placed his offering above Christ crucified. He considered the blood of Christ an unholy thing because he placed his unholy offering before Christ. By self-righteous, stubborn pride, in willful unbelief, Cain refused to come to God by Christ. He therefore opposed his own salvation. He trampled underfoot the blood of the Son of God. God therefore dealt with him in justice. He had no mercy on Cain. Cain murdered his brother Abel because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. We all know something of envy. We can all recall our own reaction when someone did the right thing that we failed to do. Cain reacted with envy and hatred when he saw that Abel offered the lamb that pointed to Christ. Cain was angry because God accepted Abel. What about you? What about me? If God accepted the person next to you, but punished you in hell forever for your sins, would God be unfair? Would God be just if He left you in your sins and by His own free grace saved your neighbor for Christ's sake alone? We naturally think that if God were to treat us as our sins deserve, He would be unfair. We think that God cannot have mercy on anyone unless He has mercy on me too. But to think that way is to think like Cain. It is to think God owes salvation to me, that He owes me something. But when God convinces us of our sin, we agree that if He told me to depart from Him forever, it would only be just and right. And if He saved me for Christ's sake alone, it would be to the praise of His grace alone. All cause for boasting in myself is removed by the way God saves sinners. Cain offered to God the fruit of the cursed ground to be accepted by Him. Cain plowed the cursed ground. He planted seed into the cursed ground. He watered that seed in the cursed ground. And then, when God gave the increase to it, Cain brought the fruit of his labors to the Lord to be accepted by Him. The lesson is clear. God cannot accept anything from a sinner. Whatever comes from my mind or is produced by my work comes from a wicked heart, and that makes it unclean. God accepts only one offering, the sacrifice of Christ, of Himself, on the cross. Cain did not do well. God warned Cain what would happen if he did not come by Christ. He told Cain that if he brought the right offering by faith in Christ, he would be accepted. Jesus said this, "This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." John 6, verse 40. To believe Christ is to do well. To look to Christ alone for all of my salvation and to come to God by Him is what God requires of us. The prophet Micah asked, "What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" To do justly is to come to God by the blood of Christ as a sinner with nothing, needing everything, and coming to God to find my all in Christ. Salvation and all blessings are in Christ alone. God is a just God and a Savior because He justifies the ungodly by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what God thinks of Christ that justifies a man. To do justly, therefore, is to come to God for acceptance and to worship God by the blood of Christ. It is bringing nothing but coming for everything and waiting on God to give me all things for Christ's sake. My sin is great, and I am helpless. I therefore need a great Savior who does all for me. God's law is holy. I need to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ to stand before God. When we look to Christ alone for all of our salvation, we come to God in the only way God can be just and justify the ungodly. And this coming is itself the work of God's grace. It is not the work of man's free will. Jesus said this, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent." John 6, verse 29. Our belief in Christ, our faith, is God's work. Saving faith is not only God's gift, but it is a spiritual understanding and the full persuasion that God cleanses us from our sins and clothes us in His righteousness and accepts us, who are sinners, in His Son. Christ is the beloved of the Lord, and God the Father made all those He chose in Christ and predestined as His children to be accepted in the beloved, that is, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:6 says, "He hath made us accepted in the beloved." But Cain did not do well. He did not come to God looking to Christ, the Lamb of God, who offered Himself by God's eternal will. All who reject Christ are like Cain. God passed by all the other things in Cain's life to focus our attention on this one thing. The difference between Cain and Abel was Christ. Cain rejected Christ. Abel believed the Lord Jesus. Abel brought a lamb by faith in Christ. God made the difference. God left Cain in his sin, but God had mercy on Abel. The difference God makes between those He saves and those He leaves in their sin and unbelief is always seen by the faith God gives them in Christ crucified. Faith is the gift of God, and faith is God's gift to sinners that changes their mind towards Christ and Him crucified. Abel's name means breath. His name was prophetic. His life would be cut short, ended in apparent uselessness. Scripture says our lives are but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James 4, verse 14. Our lives are but a breath. That is the way Abel lived. That is the way all believers live. Though Abel's life was brief, though Cain murdered him, he still speaks because he believed Christ and Him crucified. In Hebrews 11:4 it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By offering the sacrifice God required in faith, Abel obtained witness from God that he was righteous. God credited the obedience and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as Abel's own righteousness. By the blood of Christ, all of Abel's sins were forgiven by God. By the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, Abel was washed from his sins and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Abel's sacrifice was excellent. By that sacrifice, God imputed righteousness to Abel. Abel's faith was God's gift, given because Christ sacrificed himself for him. Abel believed in Christ and looked to Christ when he offered the lamb from his flock. That is the very definition of saving faith. Faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 2, and Isaiah 45, verse 22. Faith comes to Christ, John 6, 35. Faith calls on Christ as the sovereign Lord who alone can save. As God testified of Abel, God testifies in Scripture that all who believe Christ are righteous because in Christ they have fulfilled God's holy law. Romans 10, 4 says, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." God said Abel's works were righteous. No man on earth can do one thing without sin. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 says, "There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." And the Apostle Paul said about himself, "When I would do good, evil is present with me." Therefore, Abel's works were righteous not because he did them perfectly, but because God counted the obedience of Christ to Abel as his own righteousness. Remember the publican of whom Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 18, who went to the temple to pray? Remember how he cried to God, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." In his cry for mercy, the sinful publican pleaded for God to look and consider the sprinkled blood of Christ on the mercy seat of heaven's throne. Jesus said that man went down to his house justified. God will not clear the guilty. Yet Jesus said the publican who was a sinner was justified. God justifies sinners by the blood of Christ because in his obedience he laid down his life to make satisfaction to God for his people. Romans 5 verse 9. God considers Christ. His sin atoning blood justifies. By the blood of Christ, God is both just and the justifier of the ungodly. Abel brought a lamb from his flock. He did what the publican did. He believed God would only accept him because of God's response to Christ's blood. It is God's response to Christ that justifies sinners, not our response to God. Abel was the first martyr on earth. Cain was the first murderer. Cain did what his father, the devil, did. The devil is a murderer from the beginning. When Cain murdered Abel, he proved who his true father was. Cain was a son of the devil. The devil murdered the human race by tempting Adam and Eve to sin against God. He knew that God, in justice, would fulfill the curse of his law when he said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And in Abel's death, we see the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see that wicked men by wicked hands killed Christ, just as Cain killed Abel, his brother. In Abel's death, we see the will of God to sacrifice his own son. It was his predetermined will. What Cain did to Abel, anti-Christ religion does to Christ and to Christ's disciples throughout time. Religious men, trusting their own good works, hate Christ because their deeds are evil, and Christ's works alone are righteous. For no cause in the Lord Jesus, proud, self-righteous, wicked men envied and hated and killed him for wicked motives found in their own hearts. Abel's blood cried to God for vengeance against Cain, his murderer. But in this also, Abel teaches us something very wonderful about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel. By contrast, Abel teaches us something incomparably wonderful about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, God says, "The blood of Christ speaks better things than that of Abel's blood." God told Cain that his brother's blood cried to him from the ground. The blood cried. Have you ever heard blood cry? Did you know that God hears the cry of blood? And did you ever stop to think that it is the cry of the blood that determines if I am condemned as Cain or justified by Christ? The publican cried to God as a sinner that God would hear the blood of Christ for him when he said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Abel's blood called for vengeance. Abel's blood cried for God to satisfy his justice against Cain, his murderer. But Christ's blood cries in heaven to God to justify the guilty. Christ's blood cries for justification of his murderers. His blood does not justify all who murdered him, but those for whom his blood cries, those chosen before by God, ordained to eternal life before time began. These are the sinners for whom Christ laid down his life, and some of them even murdered him by their own wicked hands, though all of them murdered him by their own sin. Abel's blood cries for vengeance that God's justice might be upheld. Christ's blood cries for forgiveness that the glory of God's grace might be made known. Abel was an unwilling victim, but Christ willingly gave himself into the hands of his murderers by the will of God. Abel's blood called for justice to be served, for its demands to be satisfied in the punishment of Cain. But Christ's blood speaks of justice now satisfied in his blood. Abel's blood called for payback. Christ's blood is the ransom price that compensated God for the sins of his people. Abel's blood condemned the guilty. Christ's blood justifies the ungodly. Abel's blood called for judgment from the ground. Christ's blood calls for forgiveness and justification in heaven. Abel's blood would not let the guilty go free, but Christ's blood redeemed ungodly sinners from the curse and bondage of the law. Abel's blood banished the guilty from the presence of the Lord, sending Cain away from God's presence. But Christ's blood reconciled us to God and brings us near. Abel's blood highlighted the offense of Cain's sin to God. But Christ's blood highlighted the act of God to reconcile guilty sinners by the death of his own son. Abel's blood called for wrath, but Christ's blood delivered us from the wrath to come. Abel's blood arraigned Cain before the bar of God's justice, but Christ's blood speaks to sinners in their conscience and says, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." Abel's blood exposed Cain's heart as unholy, ungodly, and full of sin. But Christ's blood covers and cleanses us from all sin and makes us holy before God. Abel's blood held Cain accountable for his guilt and shut him up to the curse. But Christ's blood abundantly pardons the wicked and released the lawfully imprisoned debtor from sin with its guilt and condemnation. Abel's blood kept an account of wrong, but Christ's blood made full remission of our sins. Abel's blood left Cain guilty before God and heightened Cain's anger and hatred for God. But Christ's blood reconciled us to God, making peace in heaven and giving us peace in our hearts to love God without looking for any payment or reward in response to our works. Abel's blood cried to God from the ground, but Christ's blood intercedes for us on the throne of God. In religion, men must cry to God to get Him to hear them, even though God cannot hear sinners. But Christ's blood cries to God for all for whom He offered Himself. Because of Abel's blood, God cursed the ground for Cain's sake. All of Cain's former success in his labors in the ground would no longer yield their fruits. Cain's life and Cain's labors were cursed of God. All blessings were taken from him. But for Christ's blood's sake, God abundantly poured out His grace on the hateful sinner and removed the curse and gives the fruit of heaven with all of its blessings. Abel's blood left Cain cursed and without hope, but Christ's blood justifies and gives faith and hope in Christ, assuring sinners of everlasting life and eternal inheritance with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Abel's blood exposed Cain as ungodly, unholy, and full of sin. But Christ's blood makes the sinner holy before God, justifies and rewards the sinner with eternal life in heaven. Truly, the blood cries, and truly, God hears the blood. Truly, the blood of Jesus, sprinkled by Christ Himself on the mercy seat of heaven's throne, speaks better things than Abel's blood that Cain shed on earth and that brought a curse upon him. Jesus said, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Isaiah 45:22. Do you hear that it is what God hears of Christ's blood that saves? Do you see how God justifies sinners by the blood of Jesus? Do you therefore come as the publican, crying as a sinner, that God would hear the blood of Christ for you and receive you for what He received from His Son? Do you trust Christ as your substitute, and so come to God by Him alone, worshiping God for His mercy and grace in the Lamb of God? Oh, that God would hear Christ's blood for you, that He would send His Spirit now into your heart and give you to see that it is what God hears of Christ that is all of your salvation. May you, in so seeing, come to God by Him alone. Never trust what you did. Never trust your experience. Look to the One to whom alone God looks for sinners. Look to Christ.
You have just heard a sermon by our pastor, Rick Warda. You may contact us by email or by phone, or download a copy of this sermon by visiting our website at ysgracechurch.com.